You're very welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. I'm Lorcan Doherty, and today we're talking about time. Have you ever tried to book a table for 7 p.m. at a restaurant in Catalonia? Or gone to do a little bit of shopping in the afternoon, say around 3? Well, I'm guessing you might have run into a little trouble, because in Catalonia, and in Spain in general, we don't keep the same hours as the rest of Europe. But why? And why are there serious plans at highest levels of the Catalan government to change these habits of a lifetime? The response to the pandemic has shown us all that flexible working is possible, while the curfew that has been in place here for the past few months has meant changes to people's social and eating patterns. Timetable reform is the English translation of reforma horaria, as it's known in Catalan. A big deal here, and the topic for today's episode of Filling the Sink. Joining me now to discuss it are Natasha Morin and Guifré Jordan. You're both very welcome.
Yeah, great to be
Thank
here.
You.
So we're going to be talking about why is Catalonia so out of sync with the rest of Europe. So just to give you an example, Guifré, what time do you have lunch normally?
Well, I'd say never before 2 p.m, of course. No. Between 2 and 3 p.m, that'd okay. be the average.
Natasha, you grew up in England. What would you say?
I'd say the average is between 12 and 1, 1.30. If you hit 2, you're getting a bit late.
Yeah, and you're getting hungry too, no? And what about dinner then?
Well, I mean, in England, dinner is anywhere from 5 till 7:30. I don't think I know anyone who eats at 8.
Oh, 5 p.m. could be still like after lunch chat or something for us. So I'd say dinner for us, it'd be like 9, 10 p.m. I'd say that's the average. Before 9, it's a bit weird.
So like we're big, big difference. And that's also reflected in the typical school day, the typical work day. How does that work here, Guifré?
Well, for instance, when I was a kid at school, my times were usually from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Then a 2-hour break. And then in the afternoon from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. And if I did some extra school activities like English lessons or music or whatever, it was very likely to finish at 7:30 p.m.
So from 9 to 7:30, okay, with a couple of hours. And you go home at lunchtime, did you?
Yeah, most school children go home here.
I think we had a very different school experience, obviously. I started at 9 a.m. and finish at 3:15. You have like an hour lunch break at 1.
Yeah, but it's kind of more compacted, more concentrated, isn't it?
Probably you used to have lunch at school.
Yeah, I had lunch at school. Like you would go into the canteen, get your lunch, have a little bit of a run around, and then back in for the last lesson of the day. No one went home for lunch.
Yeah. Oh, for us, the canteen children were minority and not the usual here.
And the working hours match that as well, then?
Of course, they match that, yeah. So usually, for instance, in an office from 9 to 2, and then maybe 1 or 2 hour break, and then 4 to 7 or something like this. And it gets a little bit worse if you work in a shop, actually, because breaks in shops are 3-hour breaks, usually, like 1:30 p.m., the shop shuts and then it opens again at 4:30 p.m. until 8 or 8:30 p.m.
A typical working day in the rest of Europe and many parts of the world is very different.
It's definitely more a 9-to-5 sort of schedule.
Is that every podcast you do, Natasha, you have to mention Dolly Parton? No, is that a Dolly Parton reference you're getting in there?
I think she's a key icon to the 21st century, so she deserves mentioning. But yeah, we work a very different schedule. And I think as well, with shops, you wouldn't be able to go buy anything apart from food past 6.
Yeah, yeah, in general. Sometimes there's late night openings or whatever. Late night.
Late night, 7 to 8.
Yeah. Oh, late night. 7 p.m. late night. Okay. Nothing else to say.
And so it's really, it's the whole cultural. It's food, it's school, it's work. But some people want to change that. Isn't that right?
Yeah. In the past decade or so, some people, some campaigners, civil campaigners have started some push to shift to European times, to more European times. They say it's healthier. And they've even persuaded the Catalan government to sign like a national pact between the actual government and 110 entities, I think.
I've seen that pact, 50-page document called Pact for Timetable Reform. And it starts with, what if we could add time to our lives? I mean, sign me up for that. Like, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, that's the thing. So everyone would sign that. But then you tell an average person to switch to other times, and they would disagree. You know, why do I have to have dinner at 7 now? You know, so the aim of this pact is to have this change done to European times by 2025. But the problem, one of the main problems, is who goes first. So if schools change times, then who is going to fetch those children? Because we are all of us still in the office, you know. So one of the main aims of this campaign is to get to a day zero moment, you know.
I saw someone liken it to the introduction of the euro. Everything has to change on that day. That's Everyone it. Has to do it at the same time it. Or it doesn't work.
That's it. That's what they say. But how to... So the government can force public services to change. But how can you force companies, your private people? You can't. They were saying that maybe the government can introduce extra benefits to companies who use the European times, but you cannot oblige companies to use some times.
So how did this all come about? What's the reason behind this really long lunch breaks of 2-3 hours?
It mainly came around when Francisco Franco came into power in the post-Civil War era, where people were obviously lacking money. So people had to take on two jobs, which ended up meaning there was a morning shift from 9 until the lunch break, and then this 3-hour lunch break to take care of everything they needed taken care of, and then a second shift to be able to make ends meet. It became more a part of society in the 60s when people started wanting things like cars and all those luxuries, and you just weren't able to afford that without having this moonlighting, which became quite common in Spain.
Yeah, this even worsened in the 80s or the 90s because the first Spanish private TV channels appeared, I think in 1989, the first one, and they started to introduce these late-night talk shows, which were absolutely new here, and the times were ridiculous. You know, these programs would start at 10, 11 p.m., so the prime time was pushed back.
But does that matter now in this day and age? Are we not just all streaming stuff? We watch stuff whenever we want.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this is changing now. But at least this has had a big influence, you know, and the habits are there and it's difficult to get rid of them.
Yeah, how to change habits of a lifetime, not just one lifetime, several generations. And in fact, it was Franco in 1942 who actually changed the time zone that Spain is in to match with Berlin, Hitler's Nazi Germany. They'd taken over France at this point, and France changed time zone, and Spain followed suit, apparently as a signal of loyalty to Hitler. After the war, they never changed back. And if you look, okay, Catalonia is not too bad because it's kind of, you know, just below France, but it's also pretty much below Greenwich Meridian.
It's very close to the Catalan western border.
So there's also the argument that maybe naturally it should be in the same time zone as Portugal and Ireland and the UK.
Yeah, it's part of the debate, yeah.
Not everyone's convinced about that, and Reform Agraria are kind of undecided, but they do want to get rid of daylight saving. They say because of health benefits, and health benefits are quite a big part of the issue here.
Yeah, I mean, Reform Agraria are very focused on the health benefits because obviously eating late means you're digesting just before you go to bed, so you're not sleeping very well. People are getting less sleep, they're getting poorer quality sleep. And as we all know, sleep links into everything. So that leads to heart disease, that leads to extra stress, that leads to obesity. So I think their general idea is that sinking back into more usual rhythm, sinking into your circadian rhythm, which is to do with when the sun goes up and when the sun goes down, would help people have a healthier lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
But here's a question. When are you going to do that siesta that you take every day, Gifre? No?
Well, that's a cliche, Lorcan. But yeah, I mean, some people think that the fact that we do this 2-hour break in the middle is because we all go to sleep at 3 p.m., which is entirely false. And it might have happened at some point in the past, but definitely not anymore. But the thing is, this 2-hour break or 3-hour break, some people use it to fetch their children, cook for them, and then you bring them back to school, you know? And even some people go from the office home, they go home, have lunch, and they go, and then they go back to the office. But of course, if we have lunch in half an hour, our lunch, which is like a very serious meal, would be not that curious anymore. You know, we would be like the UK, they just eat Tesco meal deals in half an hour and that's it. That's something not that doesn't work.
I think there's something to be said for those long lunches. You know, you cook, you take your time over it, you eat a nice big healthy meal instead of like grabbing a sandwich. You know, it's maybe not black and white.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I think Tesco meal deals are fine dining, but to each their own.
At the end of October, the Catalan government introduced a curfew. Everyone has to be in their homes at 10 o'clock, barring exceptional circumstances. That means that people have had to, if they want to go out for dinner, they've had to do it a lot earlier. And Natasha, recently you've been out to see people. How are they getting on with this new timetable? Let's have a listen.
It felt strange to see Barcelona's neighbourhood of Born alive and buzzing once again after nearly a month of restrictions. People were all around the square enjoying the bars and restaurants. This in itself was also a strange sight. Usually people would not have headed out as early as 7:30 p.m. for anything more than a well-deserved post-work beer. However, with curfew in place, there's not much choice if you want to enjoy food out. I talked to many people about their thoughts on having to change their habits due to evolving measures, and there seemed to be very differing opinions. The first person I talked to was Silvana.
Can be a good thing because you can start drinking earlier too. And Spanish people have dinner very late.
I spoke to Adriana and Constanza, who explained that they were very happy with the schedule which existed prior to the curfew and COVID, and that change was not yet on the cards for them.
A mí ya me gustaba el horario que teníamos.
Prakash and Vishen explained that although they were very happy to change their habits to comply with curfew, they ultimately felt the same.
I won't say it would be a good thing, but for now, we're trying to adapt to it.
I would not prefer to do so.
However, some people we spoke to thought that they would maybe feel healthier if schedules adapted, especially regarding workday, such as Mercedes and Manan, who recognised that earlier times would be better.
If you see this according to your health and health wise, I think it's good.
It seemed clear that although most people were happy to come out earlier for a drink and a bit of food, they preferred eating their dinner at home rather than adapting to the new curfew. Although the evidence shows that for health reasons, Catalonia should move to an earlier schedule, eating habits are personal and here, as anywhere, people are attached to their lifestyle and traditions.
Thanks very much for that report, Natasha. You hit the nail on the head. How do we go about changing the cultural habits of millions of people? In the pandemic, obviously, we've had to put in these social measures like the curfew. But beyond that, are people just going to revert back to their old habits?
I mean, obviously, we don't know yet. But I talked to one of the activists at Time Use Initiative, and she said that they were hoping that this curfew and the way we've had to change and what we've realised from this pandemic might help set us on that path to get the changes started. However, as we've seen, the only thing that actually makes someone change their habits is through legislation, is through restrictions.
Although with the pandemic as well, we've seen that people that were very set in their ways and companies that were very set in their ways in terms of working from home and flexible working hours have had to adjust.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, time will tell whether working from home or eating early will change or it's just something temporary due to the pandemic and then everything will go back to normal.
Natasha, you moved to Catalonia a few months ago. Have you adjusted your personal timetable, personal routine to fit in here?
I mean, I adjusted at the start when there wasn't any curfew and I was going out with my friends, obviously in a COVID safe way. But now that the curfew's in and I have to be in by 10, I'm just reverting back to old habits. I like my sleep. I like sleeping 9 hours. I like having my dinner early. So I'm yet to be changed. I'm yet to be convinced.
Yeah, I have to say that my partner, who's Spanish, came in last night and said, "What are we going to do for dinner?" And I checked the time because I knew we were recording this today, and it was 20 past 10. And I thought it was a perfectly normal question. So I think I am kind of fitting into the culture here. What would you say?
I wouldn't be surprised of me saying, "What are we going to have for dinner at 10 p.m. or 10:20?
Okay, so time now for our Catalan phrase, and it's a really simple one today. Bona tarda.
Or good afternoon. But do you know, Lorcan, when to say bona tarda and not bon dia? Well, good morning?
In the afternoon, once it hits midday, 1 minute past.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, if you say bona tarda at 12:30, I mean, people will think that you are not integrated enough.
So that's a tricky thing about this. It's an easy phrase to say, but it's when do you say it?
I'd say bona tarda from 2 p.m., I'd say, till 6 or 7 p.m. And then I would switch to bon vespre, like good evening.
And then bona nit, what time does night start?
Very late.
Okay, well, I'm watching the clock here, and I guess it's nearly lunchtime for Natasha and I anyway. Thanks for coming in today, Natasha.
Thank you for having me.
And Geoffrey, you've probably still got, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours till your lunch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm still about to have breakfast, yeah. For sure. Thanks to you.
Thanks as well for listening. Next week, it's Christmas, nearly. So we'll be filling our metaphorical sink of Catalan knowledge with Catalan Christmas traditions, a strange amount of which involve poo. Yes, poo. Until then, from me, Lorcan Doherty, and all of us here at Catalan News, take care. Bye for now. Adieu.